Good afternoon. This is Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. The Poets in Schools program from Aspen Words is in its fifth year of bringing spoken word artists to area schools. These resident poets run writing workshops with students for 2 weeks. The program culminates in students performing their original work at the annual Youth Poetry Slam. Two resident poets, Mercedes Holtry and Tulawanimi Obiwole, came in to talk about the power of poetry in teaching teens how to be empathetic and brave. The best way I can think of to start this conversation is just to hear some poetry. So can I ask one of you to read a poem?
Sure, I will read a poem. So just, I guess, you know, I'll just go. The poem will speak for itself. Here we go. The first time I was ever required to write poetry for school credit, I received an F. F for failure, failed to follow rules, to write inside the lines, to line up my poem perfectly, to rhyme rhetoric like it's rehearsed itself on my paper, performed a perfect pirouette. But my words prefer to break like b-boys, to beatbox. My words felt a little more hip-hop, and Miss Rice didn't find it suitable for an English class that I wrote poems that set my soul free. Words freestyling to the beat, she didn't want to read poems that felt more like corridos, more like barrio fiction, like Spanish diction, like storytelling. Like, it didn't matter if my poems sang ballads in fire, spoke the language of rushing rivers, breathed the bosque into motion like dragon's breath, cried like weeping woman, Llorona, frightened the children into believing there is so much power that lies within a voice. My voice rises like a phoenix, sets the planets on fire, breaks the light into 1,000 stars, bleeds through any fabric, challenges the depths of the sea, channels the inner goddess in me, embraces divinity, faces adversity, spits in its face. My poems don't paint Mona Lisa's smile, instead they spray Frida Kahlo's eyebrows onto brick walls. My poems light a candle and ask La Virgen to make it better. I write myself into the full moon so that the wolves will sing to me, howl to me. My poems are a warrior cry, a battle song, a dancing tongue with 2 left feet. My poems are the indigo in my blood. It's what makes me a child of the desert, daughter of the mountains, sister of the sunset. We share secrets and braid the colors of her hair into the sky. My poems speak for the trees in my backyard, how the cottonwood and the oak tree battle to see whose roots are deeper seeped into the ground. My poems are the roots of forbidden fruit, the lips of Eve and the sweet sinful juice that falls from them. My poems are the poison and the potions. My poems are potent, and they only wish to speak the truth. Some would say my words feel foreign, feel forbidden, feel like failure in a classroom. A big fat F written in red, etched across the poem about my childhood, the poem about my upbringing, the poem about my grandmother's tamales and the dinosaur TV in my living room and the dirty pair of shoes I threw over the telephone wire and the time I scraped my knee on the pavement and my first fist fight and the first time I got butterflies and the last time I'd swore I let my heart break and the day I was no longer afraid of bleeding, of being woman and monster at the same time, because A plus poems don't set themselves on fire, don't explode like tick, 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 ticking time bombs. A plus poems sound more like dead white guys, sound like proper English, like simile sitting in a classroom. A plus poems don't mention your uncle's heroin addiction. They don't talk about your grandmother's beating heart, how the doctors say it's close to giving up, how mama can't afford her mortgage, how you haven't seen your father in weeks. There's no pain in A-plus poems, no resolution, no cathartic release, no answers, no questions, no questioning government, no questioning authority, no questioning God, no praying to God, no prayers, just lines of poems that line themselves up like soldiers go in marching one by one. She gave me an F because I didn't follow directions when writing poems as if standards define art, and there, in institutionalized academia, I was told I'm not a good poet by a woman who only saw the margins and the format and the rules that were broken broken by each stroke of my pen but didn't see me for who I am. And now 7 years later, I'm on a stage with lights and a mic in the ears of hundreds or even thousands who came to listen to the F plus poet. If I had a chance to redo that poetry book for an A, I'd guzzle it in gasoline and light a match, because no amount of metaphor dressed in censorship and structure could convince me my words aren't the strongest thing I have, that my voice isn't the sound of survival, that my heart isn't evident in every page I write. To the last word, I will stand and speak until every student believes there are superpowers that lie within their voice box waiting to save the world, that their story is a storm to be reckoned with, that their love and pain is worth writing about, and their words will leave legacies that will make them legendary, a reminder that they are far from failure.
It's radio, so you can't see that I have goosebumps all over. That was Mercedes Holtry. So thank you both for being here so much. And you're here for the Youth Poetry Project. So can you talk about why does this exist? Like, why does it matter to get poetry to high school kids in this way?
That's a really loaded question. It's super important, I think, because as young people, we're told that we're not the experts, or that our voice doesn't necessarily count or matter because we're young. And so when we go into these high schools and we tell these young people, hey, this is a chance for you to be real. This is a chance for you to be honest. This is a chance for you to say all the things that you've been wanting to say, but you hold back because either adults make you feel like you can't say these things, or your peers pressure you into thinking it's not cool, or even just society in general is telling you all the things to get you not to express yourselves and to hold it in and to be this composed, mature person. And I think it's important to use poetry as a tool so that these young people can understand that expression is one of the best ways to not only heal yourself, but heal others around you. And so I think that's really what generally started the program off. And back in, I want to say 2015, Merlin Hepworth and Logan Phillips, who were actually like the beginner poets of this project, they were both in the Valley at the same time, but had no idea that they were doing the same thing. They were both doing poetry, and they know each other from the poetry community. So eventually they got word and wind of each other that they were in the same, you know, the same space or the same area. And they decided, like, well, why don't we do this together? Why don't we collab and we team up? And so Aspen Words took them on, and they created this poetry project, which is really awesome. It's what we have now. They invited me a year later. I jumped on board, and then the following 2 years, I invited Tolua to be the fourth member. And so now there's four of us, and we split the project between the four of us, and we try to visit at least all the high schools and middle schools in the Roaring Fork Valley. So It's been an amazing journey so far.
And Tolua, couldn't you talk about the process, you know, that you come to work with schools, and then the kind of the culminating project?
Yes. So I'm very new to the Aspen Words Project, but very grateful. And what I've observed generally is that we as poets go into specifically the high schools. The middle schools we'll go into and we'll do workshops and writing with them and some development, but the high schools are really where we try and get, you know, the most writing, the most development out of them, because the culminating project is a poetry slam. And so the students get to showcase either poems that they've written with us in class or poems that they've written on their own and refined with us. And it's framed as a competition, but it's really like, it feels more like one large open mic where we just get to hear all of these amazing poems from these high schoolers, and somebody arbitrarily wins at the end. But the main focus and the main point of it is that the students are able to like gain community by reading poems with each other and to their community as well.
And why is that step necessary, like going public? Because I think it's one thing to like powerful enough, right, to like go into classrooms and encourage kids to write. But there's this extra step of reading out loud in front of your community, which is so scary and so daunting for everybody. So why? Why does that matter?
I feel like as humans, any type of testimony that is spoken aloud is living proof that we have the ability to change others with our words and with our speech. And so to make this event public is just a way for us to kind of acknowledge each other and to say, hey, you're human, you're speaking that story out loud, and I connect to that story. That actually happens to me too. Or, you know, and it varies. There's so many different ways we can connect with each other. And with spoken word, it's specific enough to young people because it helps them realize, like, hey, I also am feeling this way and I am connecting with you. Because if they weren't saying that out loud, they had kept it in their notebook or on their page, it would end there.
So what preconceived notions about poetry are you up against when you walk in those classrooms?
There are so many that it's almost hard to name. Yeah. From the literary aspect, where people don't generally view the type of poetry that we do, spoken word, as viable in literature and the literary community. So coming at it from an academic standpoint, you know, there are many people who are like, you know, why this element, why the element of spoken word, why do you use this medium, how is it academically important? And then you're also going up against the politics of it, because many times when you're writing poetry about yourself and, you know, especially with me and Mercedes, like coming from such different backgrounds than not only the students, but, you know, in general, even in our communities, like I myself am an immigrant. And so a lot of what I write about in my identity is the challenges that I face as an immigrant, but also how beautiful being an immigrant is. And many times that kind of teeters on the edge of being political. And many times people don't understand that all identities are intertwined with politics. Like there's no way to kind of separate the two, because these issues, these topics are very important. They shouldn't be taboo. We should be able to have open conversations about them, because identity affects all aspects of our lives. And so trying to approach a classroom with the intention of allowing the students to explore their own identities while remaining within the confines of nothing can be political, nothing can be, you know, too provocative. It's a challenge, but it's a challenge that I feel like is very easily met, because it just flows naturally with what we're teaching the kids and what we're allowing them, not allowing, but opening them up to speak about.
Being a teenager is a time of like such intensity. You're figuring out yourself and the world and relationships. And I guess I wonder about the impact that you've seen on students. Like, are there specific kids who have stood out to you, who you know have been impacted by this?
Most definitely. I think the students that we've seen grow from this program, because, I mean, this is going to be Merlin and Logan's fifth year, my fourth year, Tolu's second year. So we've been around the block a couple times mm-hmm. with this specific population of students. And I think seeing them from when they're freshmen 4 years later into the program to now when they're seniors, and this is like their fourth time doing this slam, and they're going up with confidence and they're reading poems that they would have never read 4 years ago. They would have never even wrote these poems 4 years ago. It's amazing to see that transformation and that growth and that self-awareness. And I think that's important, because as young people, I don't think they realize how important it is to know who you are before you get into like this real state of life, like college, and even after that, it gets tough. And if you don't know who you are, I feel like it's even tougher. And so I feel like this program has offered students to understand a little more in depth, some self-care, self-love, self-respect, and even just accepting the challenges and the suffering that they go through and being able to overcome that through what they write. Today, a fifth grader actually wrote about her mom having cancer. And for her to even say that in front of an entire fifth grade class is super brave. And I think bravery is like what these kids gain out of this program. Like they just understand that like this is vulnerable, and I don't want to share this information, but hey, these people are encouraging me to be brave. And the rest of these students seem to be really receptive and really accepting. And so then you get someone sharing that personal deep story, and then you have other students being super compassionate and showing empathy and showing support. And then you gain, that's how you gain like this mutual respect for each other. So I think the kids or the youth here have definitely grown.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Today, my guests are resident poets Mercedes Holtree and Tulawanami Obiwole from the Youth Poetry Project. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. About your stories and your backgrounds and how you found poetry, but maybe before we get into that, we can hear another poem.
Yeah, Tolua, do a poem, girl.
Okay. So I'll probably get into my identity later, but this is a poem that I wrote specifically about Denver and about the changing community out there. I'll just get into it. There's still a 7-Eleven on almost every corner, and the parking lot of Chubby's is still a popular hangout for angry pigeons. And at night, under the beam of the full moon and the crackling buzz of the street signs along Federal, the tumbleweeds rustle unbothered, and Denver is still the Wild West. My blood has known the easy wave of palm leaves and Lagos beaches from the womb. I didn't know what a cowboy was until the age of 11. This rocky desert doesn't quite know what to do with my skin, and my hair breaks in protest, but my spirit recognizes these mountains like kin. Before Kerouac lost his mind walking the length of Colfax, before the KKK march on Larimer, before Amendment 64, before Baby Doe and Wyatt Earp, before the Sand Creek Massacre in Capitol Hill, Chief Ure did not want the white man to build on his land, fought to keep the sweet grass wild beneath his people's feet, held the hand of the devil only when the bodies started piling up. Construction cranes and New York glass cast shadows on neighborhoods whose histories are being churned into currency. There's no difference between gentrification and the gold rush. Whoever said Denver had no ghettos never realized internment is synonymous with erasure. Denver can play the part of adoptive mother so well that we forget who she first gave birth to. For every Native bumper sticker slapped on the back of a Prius, there's an Apache grandmother who had to lose her language to bend that word into existence. Under the chipping paint of our historic homes, there are names that were deemed too poor or too brown for remembrance. Development gets too expensive when home turns into a house with character and safety is the lighting and Spanish street names while driving out the paleta carts to keep up property value. Boasting about a hood with trendy ethnic restaurants and trimmed lawns cannot connect you to a land you don't know. You have to dig your fingers in the earth for that. Get comfortable with the skeletons buried next to the flower roots in your backyard. In the last 5 years, the city has swallowed up anyone with enough money for a ski pass, dispensary membership, and the dream, and spat out the ones who couldn't afford to keep up with progress. Tell me the difference between displacement and disappearing. When did we let community become optional in the face of the American dream? Does anyone remember when property tax didn't cost a whole spirit? Does your tia still live in her old house? Is there a bike path where your ancestors used to pray? Do you remember seeing faces like yours in your neighborhood? Do you have hope that you will again? As long as there are always those who remember the Highlands as the North Side, Rhino as Five Points, and Montbello doesn't stop fighting for its food rights, and the Front Range Pinks are never afraid that the skyscrapers will eclipse them. In Denver, we gather together like devotees under the saving glow of candle vigils and poetry readings. Here, in the knowing of each other and the sharing of soul, we make a home.
Woohoo! I wanted to like yell during that whole poem.
I know.
And I was like, oh, I can't. I'm on the radio.
No, please yell.
I was going to be like, oh, yes, spit.
So, like I said, I want to hear about both of your backgrounds and how you came to this program. But actually, I have kind of a scary question to get into that. And that's, what were you like in high school? So, Talua, you want to go first?
Sure. I went to two high schools. So half of 9th and 10th grade, I was at Denver School of Science and Technology, and then 11th and 12th, Denver School of the Arts. Very different experiences at each school, but at each school, I was definitely was very shy, very nerdy. I had like a very, very small group of friends. Not too many people knew who I was, and I just kind of kept my head down and worked on my art and read my books. So I wasn't a very like loud or I guess shiny kid in high school.
Yeah. Mercedes, how about you?
If I could go back and tell the girl in high school to join poetry club earlier, I would have done it. I'm glad I found poetry when I did. I was about a junior. But before that, I was your typical, I want to be an athlete, I want to be a cool kid, I want to do the cool things. And yeah, one day I was sitting in an auditorium and, you know, I was like, what is going on? I have no idea why they have us in this, you know, the theater. I don't know why they took us out of class. This is going to be something dumb. And nope, the poets from the Albuquerque community, who are actually now all my really, really good best friends, they got on stage and they performed poems, and I was like so amazed that people could do that. I was like, oh my god, like I want to be them. I don't want to be this anymore. I want to be them. And so I joined my poetry club. I was really nervous the first time someone asked me to read a poem, but I did it, and I got this like really awesome feeling, like, oh, I feel so relieved that I got to read that and people didn't like shun it or think it was stupid or feel like it was like, you know, not cool. Everyone was like, oh my god, you're a great writer and you should keep going. Mm-hmm. And so I caught wind of that and I ran with it, and now here I am. I'm mm-hmm. like, and I'm much different. I feel like I'm a lot more socially conscious, self-aware. I accept myself a lot more. I appreciate the little things, because now I have to write about them in detail all the time. And I just appreciate where my journey has taken me. And I'm really glad I made the choice to show up and do the work and just be there. And because if I hadn't, I don't know where I'd be. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I was like, you know, I'm glad poetry found me. And yeah, I ran away with it. It was my first love, my actual first love that mm-hmm. I was like, yep, I'm gonna follow you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. So
Talua, how about you? How did you find poetry? Or I loved what you just said. How did poetry find you?
Well, kind of the same thing. Because I was very, very shy and I didn't really like go out very much. One of my friends kind of like dragged me one summer in 12th grade, just like kind of dragged me out of my house and took me to the basement of this coffee shop, and they were doing like this youth poetry workshop where this guest poet came in, kind of like coming into a high school and showcased his poems and also kind of did a writing prompt with us. And while he was speaking, I was just absolutely astounded that he was telling his story and like everyone was just listening with like just rabid attention. And the way that he was telling the story, like using his whole body and the way that he was using his voice, it kind of seemed like the poem and the story was consuming him, and it was like almost like an act of devotion or worship. And I was just so into that and was mesmerized. I was like, whoa, I really want to do that. I want to be able to tell my story in ways that are, you know, beautiful and captivating and connect with people in that way, since I don't have very many conversations. And this is a way of like having a conversation with so many people at one time and letting them get to know parts of you in that way as well.
Do you remember the first time you read something in public?
Do. It was in the basement of that very same coffee shop, like I think 3 or 4 weeks later, I had, like, every week I'd go and I'd sit and I'd listen to whatever poet they had. I'd do the little writing prompts and everything. And then finally, I got the courage to actually read one out loud. And my hands were shaking so bad I could barely read the words on the page. And it was just this little poem where I'd, like, turned my body into a metaphor and had done all of this stuff. And they were like, you should definitely try out for our youth team, because Denver has a youth poetry team called Minor Disturbance. And they're like, come out for the youth team, come to the slams. And I was like, okay, but it seems like there are a lot of people here.
And I kind of thought this would be it.
You know, this is great. Like, you know, 13 people in the basement of a coffee shop. I love this. But going to places like the Mercury Cafe in Denver, where, you know, there's like 50 to 100 people in the room, that was a really, really challenging and amazing experience.
When you were young, really just took one person to inspire you, and you are those people now. And I want to talk about your kids a little bit. The Youth Poetry Slam is on February 16th, and you've been coaching, getting them ready to go up in public. You've been working with them for multiple years even. So what is it like to watch them take the stage?
Oh, man, I think I get as nervous as they do. It's because, you know, you're their biggest fan at that point in time when it's all said and done and you're, you know, you're on stage being the host, but you're backstage, like, kind of pumping these kids up to just let go and get free on stage. And you see their little faces. They're just like, I don't know if I could do this. And you're their biggest fan, and you're rooting for them hardcore. You just want them to kill it on stage. You want them to just let it all out and be free. And you want them... You don't want them to win because they're already winning. They're there. You know what I mean? You're like, you've won. You're here. You're going to do your poem. Everyone's going to love you. The scores don't really matter. What matters is that you're already here. I just want you to be happy doing your poem. I just want you to come off that stage feeling like you won, even if you don't win. And I think that's like a super important feeling to have for these young people, because, man, they're awesome. They're poets. They're poets. So it's good to see them blossom into that role and to become that.
Yeah, it's really incredible, because many times I see myself whenever they're like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. I'm like, yeah. Oh man, yeah, I'm right there with you. I feel that all the time whenever I get up on stage. But then, like Seta said, like, we are basically at that point their biggest fans, and it's just such a moment of, I almost feel like I'm living vicariously through them. I'm like, my gosh, this is just absolutely incredible. I'm getting to hear your experience, and you're just so amazing. And so I almost feel like a proud mom. I'm just like, oh, you're doing so well, and I love your story, and your poems are important. And look at you, you're figuring out and taking control of, you know, you're finding your own agency and realizing just how important you are.
Mercedes and Tallulah, thank you so much for taking the time, and thanks for the work you're doing with our kids here.
Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Kristen Kay. Thanks to my guests today, resident poets Mercedes Holtree and Tuluwanimi Obiwole from the Youth Poetry Project. The 5th Annual Youth Poetry Slam will take place on Friday, February 16th at the 3rd Street Center in Carbondale. To listen to this show or any of our previous shows, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Thanks for listening. Cross Currents is a production of Aspen Public Radio.